Hi, and welcome to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey. Do you feel crushed by guilt? Full of negative self-talk based around your own failure? You know what I mean, I'm not lovable. I always do the wrong thing. My children deserve better. I must try harder. It's my fault my child does that. He'll never forgive me. If you have thoughts like these running through your head, you're a victim of false guilt. Such guilt stops you living life to your full potential. It takes away your happiness, it crushes your self-belief, and it can be dealt with. There are times when guilt can be a good emotion. True guilt reminds us of past mistakes that need to be dealt with. Today on Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey, we will explore guilt, the differences between true and false guilt, the burdens it places on our lives, and how we can deal with it constructively. Stay with us. I'm speaking with Pat Shepherd. Pat, hello.
Hello, Penny.
Thank you for joining us today.
It's a pleasure.
In your role over the years as a counsellor,
yes,
you must have seen many women struggling with issues of guilt.
Yes, I have. I've struggled with issues of guilt myself. I remember there was a cartoon, I think it was Peanuts, and we saw Charlie Brown at the edge of a lake, and he's talking to Linus, and Charlie Brown bends down and picks up a stone and throws it into the lake, and Linus says, "Charlie Brown, what have you done?" And he said, "Well, what have I done?" He said, "It's probably taken 500 years for that stone to get to the edge of the lake, and you've just thrown it back." And Charlie Brown said, "Whatever I do, I feel guilty." And that's how I felt always. And I think a lot of people do. They just feel guilty for nothing.
Do you know why you felt that way?
Oh, yes. As a child, I was abused, sexually abused by my grandfather, and had problems with my mother. But so as I grew up, I was very aware of this past of mine that I didn't want to face, and even though the thing has been done to you, you carry the guilt and the shame. And I found this speaking to people invariably with abuse, whether it's physical abuse, same thing, or even mental abuse, and particularly sexual abuse, the person always feels guilty or unclean or unworthy, not like other people.
So at what point did you confront the guilt and shame that you felt?
Different people handle things differently, but I always find if I can face the responsibility, my responsibility in something, I'm always freed from it. And when I realised with my guilt, people say, "Well, it isn't your fault, it wasn't your fault," but something in you is crying out, "I could have run away, I could have told someone, I could have done this, I could have done this." And you carry a sense of responsibility, and yet at the time you could do nothing else. And when I realised that, I started to look through the whole area of guilt. So there's the guilt that's a social guilt that people put on you, your parents and your teachers and your church. I'm not talking about that guilt. Often that's a false guilt. But according to the Bible, there is a true guilt. And that's when I break God's law. For example, if you break a law, there's a penalty. And if I break God's law, there's a penalty, even if Christ died for it. So if I jump from a 10-foot building, I end up cracking my head. I break a law of gravity. If I have a 4-year-old child in my arms, an innocent child, and I jump from a 10-story building, that child also suffers the penalty of the broken law. I realized that unwillingly I was part of breaking God's law of the sin of incest or wrong sexual activity. What my grandfather had to do about it, I don't know. But I had to say to God, "God, I thank you for Jesus, I thank you for dying for me, and I thank you for dying for my part, unwilling part, in breaking the law of the sin of incest." And it was such a relief to me, because suddenly I was able to get rid of the true guilt, not just the false guilt. And that made a lot of difference, and I've used it so many, often with people with abuse, and it's difficult. Abused people understand exactly what I'm saying. People who haven't been abused say, oh no, the child couldn't be guilty.
It just seems so hard. I mean,
now, I'm not saying God holds me responsible.
Right.
What I'm saying is I was part of the sin of incest. There's no doubt.
Okay. Therefore, so God holds your grandfather responsible.
Absolutely, absolutely. But because I have been part of breaking a law, God doesn't hold me responsible for breaking that. But Christ died for every broken law. So I need to give that to him and say, here is anything that in my life I broke your law. I give it to you. I thank you that you've taken that on the cross. And I am free from it. I don't have to think. I don't any longer have to say, I could have done this, I could have done that. I say, no, Lord, it's your problem.
So then, from what you said right at the beginning with the Charlie Brown story.
Yes.
Sexual abuse and maybe other forms of abuse as well, yes, lead a person to just feel constantly guilty.
And shame. Shame's different again. Shame is who I am. Guilt is for what I've done. And so they feel ashamed because they feel unworthy, unclean, not like other people, whatever the abuse is. And they carry it. They carry it. And you see, that's where the whole area of Christianity and the cross is so different. These things can be given to Christ because he suffered for us and he took them from us. And when a person can understand that he can take this and free them, then the cross is so necessary for people in any form of abuse or suffering.
Pat, you're not a young woman.
No, I'm very old.
You've had to spend, obviously, some time working through these and then helping others.
That's right, yes. I had to work through it myself before I could help others.
So, Pat, you now are able to live your life without shame?
No, I can't say that. Anyone who's had or suffered any form of abuse, it's still there. The thing doesn't consume you any longer. You can live and freely live and enjoy life. But it's like a scar. It's like a weakness. And you'll feel the shame come back about things might happen, events outside, circumstances. But instead of it taking hold of you, you can throw it off.
What kind of things trigger?
Well, for example, what I'm doing now, I can do this talk or this interview, and then I might walk out and I'll suddenly have this terrible sense of shame. I've done it wrong. I've done the wrong thing. I shouldn't have said that. That sort of shame.
Okay.
It's how you feel about yourself, not necessarily so much what you did.
So it sounds like in the end, for a person's own sake,
yes,
we need to be able to work through the guilt.
Exactly.
Work through the shame.
It's for me. It doesn't help the person who hurt me. They're not aware of my suffering anyway. It's for me. It's for my freedom. It's when the Lord said, I've come to set you free. And so I say, well, I want freedom. If you say I'll be free, that's what I want. Everyone wants to be free and at peace within themselves.
And Pat, it sounds like it's then a lifetime journey. You haven't arrived.
No, there's still exciting times ahead. I don't know what they are, but I enjoy life.
And you remind yourself when you start slipping back into the guilt or the shame, I've got freedom.
Oh yes, I just, that doesn't last any longer. I see now more what I have got and what I lost.
Pat Shepherd, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure.
You're listening to Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey.
And I'd like to welcome Rebecca Launder, who is with Mercy Australia. Hello, Rebecca.
Hi there.
Rebecca, you're a psychologist with Mercy Australia. Tell me first of all what Mercy Australia is.
Okay, Mercy Australia is primarily a residential program for young women 16 to 28 years of age who are dealing with possibly a range of different life-controlling issues. So it could include an eating disorder, an unplanned pregnancy, dealing with issues associated to abuse in the past. And what they do is they come in and they stay with us for a period of anywhere from 6 to 12 months. And in that time, they participate in a whole range of activities that help them to deal with issues of their past and actually overcome them and get ready for their future, for the future that, you know, God's intended for them.
How do they come to you? Are they referred or they...
Yeah, both. I mean, the program is completely voluntary for a girl to participate to come to Mercy. And we actually find that that's one of the major factors to success, is if a girl really wants to be here. Girls get referred through doctors, through school counsellors, through pastors and churches, through just friends, word of mouth. We have a website that people go to and can get our information from there. And I suppose the major source of referral is word of mouth, that people have either heard about us and suggest us to a friend, or possibly one of the girls who's graduated from the program may know of somebody who would benefit from Mercy.
We will continue this discussion on shame and guilt here on Women of Hope with Penny Mulvey after the break.